Runners. I'm your host, Finn Melanson, and this is the Run to the Top podcast, a podcast dedicated to making you a better runner with each and every episode. We are created and produced by the expert team of coaches at runnersconnect.net, where you can find the best running information on the internet, as well as training plans to fit every runner and every budget. This time, we are back with another training plan rescue episode, and in this edition, Coach Michael Hammond evaluates the training plan of a 33-year-old runner named Nick, who is returning to the sport after a 10-year hiatus and experiencing some difficulties along the way around injuries, workouts, and goal completion. Michael has some solutions, so let's listen into what he has to say. Collagen supplementation has been shown to help runners dramatically improve recovery and reduce injuries. Later in this episode, we will look at the exact science on collagen supplementation and how you can save 10% at newtopia.com/run-to-the-top-genius. If you're looking for better and safer headphones while you run, then you need to check out Olidance. Their open-ear design delivers premium sound while still allowing you to hear your surroundings to stay safe. I'll tell you more about them later in this episode, but if you're looking for a great New Year's gift for the runner in your family, head to olidance.com/RTTT to learn more.
Hey, Runners Connect listeners, welcome back to another Training Plan Rescue, where you send us your busted training plan and we come to the rescue. Coach Michael Hammond here, sub-4 miler and head coach here at Runners Connect. Today you'll hear from Nick, a 33-year-old with an interesting running story. Nick ran cross-country in high school, setting a 5K PR of 17:49 way back in 2005. But in 2012, he developed a severe case of Achilles tendonitis, bad enough that he wouldn't even wear pants because they aggravated the tendon so much, which caused him to hang up the racing shoes for almost 10 years. Now he's back to training, but he's having some trouble. Some injuries, some overly intense workouts, and in general, he doesn't feel like he's quite on track to reach his goals. So today we're going to talk about how to effectively come back from a big running hiatus, if and when you should emulate what the pro runners do, and will set Nick up for success moving forward. Okay, here's Nick.
My name is Nick. I am 33. I've been running consistently for the past year and a half. I've been focused on 5K training. Before the past year and a half or so, maybe would run 2-3 days a week, 5-10 miles a week at the most. Nothing serious, not real training. But I started running in high school, did cross country and track my freshman and sophomore years, and then went into my junior year, kind of got interested in other things and quit. But now I want to realize my potential about how fast can I get.
So this is an interesting one. Even though Nick is only 33, before the last year or so, he hadn't done any sort of legit training for almost a decade. That's a huge amount of time, considering that at Runners Connect, we often have people ask us how much fitness they lose not running for just 2 weeks. Now, Nick did run 2 to 3 times a week during that time. That's crucial. But 2 or 3 easy jogs is a far cry from intense, heavy training. Here's what he's been doing.
Been really focused on 5K training the past year and a half, building up my mileage. About 40 miles a week was pretty good for a while, and I bumped it up to about 45 average. Peak is about 54 miles per week.
Right away, you can tell Nick is not messing around. 45 to 50 miles a week, some weeks even higher, really focused 5K training, and listen to some of the workouts he's been doing.
So I do workouts twice a week. One day would be tempo threshold stuff, and then the other day would be more VO2 max interval work. So a typical tempo workout would be 2x2 miles at my threshold pace. So I would do that at about 6:20 a mile, take a 3-minute break between that, do another 2 miles. Another workout would be intervals at VO2 max, 6x800 meters, would shoot for about 550 a mile with a minute and a half rest. Another workout that I do would be 5x1,000 meters, push that pace a little bit to 545 a mile, give myself 2 minutes rest.
Those are great workouts, no doubt. But let's zoom out for a moment. Remember, Nick didn't do any organized workouts or training for almost a decade. Now, Nick did ramp up his mileage gradually, smart guy, but this is still a good opportunity for our first lesson from Nick's training, and that is, if you don't use it, you lose it, but that doesn't mean it's gone. When you take a big running hiatus, think several months to several years, you do indeed lose fitness, but you lose more than that. You lose muscular fitness, neuromuscular connections, and the strength in the tendons and joints that you need to run. That's all to say, coming back from a big running hiatus is not an easy task. I, of course, won't hijack Nick's story here, but I'm experiencing this personally. I'm the same age as Nick. We're both 33. I stopped running in 2016, and I didn't even do those 2 to 3 jogs a week. I did almost no running for the past 6 or 7 years. Now I'm on the comeback train, and it ain't easy. Things that used to be easy are now hard. You can't just, you know, go for an easy hour without risking injury. Paces are way, way slower, and my muscles and tendons just feel weak compared to what they used to be able to withstand with running. So if you're in a situation like me and Nick, or if your running just isn't going the way you want and you want to do a big reset, a great idea for many people, we can talk about that more in depth in another episode, here's what you should do. First, start with run walks. Some people can start with full-on runs, you know, like Nick, because he was doing 2 to 3 runs a week, even if they were short and easy. But for others, run walks work tremendously to build up your running and your running muscles safely. Start with 30 seconds of running at a time with plenty of walking between and slowly build up to running a mile or two at a time. Then you're ready for full runs. Second, strength train. Some might think the strength training comes later when you're trying to run faster and do harder workouts. False. You should be doing this up front. In fact, if you can start doing this a month or so before you start running, even better. Build up your body's strength, especially in your hips, lower legs, and core. This will make the comeback to running much smoother and prevent big injuries. Third, don't compare. When Nick first started doing harder workouts, he probably hated imagining how easy those workouts would have been for him back in 2005. But that's a huge mistake. After all, that's over 15 years ago. Here at Runners Connect, a lot of our runners talk about decade PRs. Basically, your PR any given decade of your life. So your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and so on all have their own PRs. This is a way to immediately distance yourself from, you know, the old days and understand you're on a new path. And that's the case, even if your new path can connect with and even surpass your old one, like with Nick, who I believe can run much faster than he did back in 2005. So again, start with run walks, which is basically a way of saying build your training up gradually. Strength train, get those muscles and tendons ready for the training to come. Don't compare. You are who you are today, and you'll train smarter knowing that. Now, Nick did a really nice job of that. There were some bumps in the road, but Nick got himself back to a high level of fitness in a smart way. Listen to how Nick organized his training.
The bulk of my training was easy miles. They say do 80-20, but really I was probably doing 85-15 or some weeks 90-10, just because I know my aerobic capacity has been one of my weaknesses over the past year and a half. I do a lot of my easy runs in the zone 2 on a 5-zone scale. Where I'll take my max heart rate and take my resting heart rate and figure out my zones from there. And typically a 9-minute mile is a good mile and a 10-minute mile is on the slower end of my zone 2. So it's really slow relative to my race pace for my 5K. But I do find that I enjoy that pace.
I know this is the training plan rescue, but this part I really can't rescue because he did such a great job. Bulk of his running easy, keeping the easy runs truly easy. Notice how he says how much slower his runs are than his 5K pace, like it's a bad thing. That's a great thing, Nick. So often when you come back from a hiatus full of motivation and zest, you want to do some of those, you know, out of the park type workouts. You want to hammer it. You want to get those results fast. But that's not the way. Like Nick said, you should be doing at least 80% of your volume at an easy effort at any time, even more so when you're on the comeback trail. So tremendous work, Nick. Now, let's zoom back in and talk about some of Nick's harder training. Remember, he mentioned doing 2 workouts a week, 1 threshold and 1 VO2 max or interval workout, then a long run on the weekend. Sounds good on the surface, but let's dig a little deeper. First, he mentions doing a medium longish run the day after his long runs.
My weekends, because I would do my longest run on a Saturday. The next day, I would do a semi-long run. So I would end up doing 20 miles total over the weekend because I would do about 12 and a half Saturday, bounce back Sunday with 8 miles. I just heard that was really helpful.
Now, those can be helpful. Any of our Runners Connect athletes know we commonly do back-to-back longer days in marathon training to fit a good chunk of mileage in a 24 to 36-hour period. But for 5K training and where Nick is at in his progression, I just don't see the benefit. Think of it this way. That's 20 miles in 2 days over the weekend. I know most of it is easy, which is great, but that's still a hefty number of miles on your legs. Now you go into the week with a workout on Monday on tired legs. I'd much rather see a short 4 to 5 mile run on Sundays. Then we could do the medium long run during the week, spread throughout so that there's optimal recovery between all the harder stuff. So we could do something like Monday tempo workout, Wednesday medium long run, Friday intervals, and Saturday long run. I don't mind the long run being the day after the intervals in 5K training because it's not that long and it's all easy versus in marathon training where they're, you know, 16, 18, 20 miles with some faster stuff. So this isn't to say the 8 mile day after the long run is ruining Nick's training. It's more just the approach. Then he talks about doing double threshold workouts.
I tried doing double threshold intervals. So in the morning, I would do some faster threshold intervals, like 6 minutes at my threshold, and then take a rest and continue doing that. And then I'd go to work, and then after work, I would try to do a faster threshold, not quite VO2 max, but a faster threshold workout.
So this is an idea that's gotten popular over the last few years due to Jakob Ingebrigtsen and his brothers doing them, the Norwegian Legion. For those who don't know, Jakob won the Olympic 1500 meter in 2021 and then won the World Championships 5000 meter in 2022, all before he turned 22 years old. This brings us to the second lesson from Nick's training. You shouldn't always try to emulate the pros. They're at a different level, they're training for a different goal, and they're living a different lifestyle. This doesn't mean the pros don't have anything to offer. They're inspiring, they're fun to watch, and they often do give helpful tips on what got them where they are. But those tips should be taken with a grain of salt. Let's look at Jakob Ingebrigtsen. This guy has been training like a pro since he was 10 or 12 years old. He's had his two older brothers, both high-level pros, to look up to and emulate. He's a freaky talent, one of the greatest European running talents of all time. And perhaps most important to this discussion, he's a pro athlete. He has a mega Nike sponsorship deal, meaning he can eat, sleep, train, repeat day after day, week after week, month after month. Not only can he, but that's literally his job. Oh, and he's 22 years old. That definitely helps. He's young and resilient. So double thresholds, or even double workouts in general, are a great example of when not to emulate the pros. These guys will do the morning workout, which they did off a solid 8 hours of sleep the night before, go home, eat, relax, nap, relax some more, then head out on their second workout. Compare this to Nick, who probably had to rush out the door early in the morning for the first workout, slam a quick breakfast before heading to work, spent all day at his job, then came home for the second workout. Two vastly different situations. And look at what those workouts did for Nick.
I think that is exactly when I started feeling that runner's knee injury. And I actually think I remember the exact moment when that happened in the afternoon session.
So for Nick, bag the double workouts. Let's stick to one run per day unless your mileage gets to 60 plus miles a week or so. Even then, the most I'll ever recommend is a second easy run in a day. So for instance, an easy 3 to 5 mile jog in the evening after a workout in the morning.
Once known mainly for helping improve skin and wrinkles, collagen peptides are one of the latest supplements that take the running world by storm in our never-ending quest to improve recovery. In case you didn't know, collagen is a strong and flexible protein found in our bones and connective tissue. With healthy and strong collagen levels, your ligaments and joints will be more flexible and your body will better handle the pounding that comes with running so many miles. In fact, a 2020 literature review of 15 studies on collagen supplementation in recreational runners showed that collagen supplementation improved joint pain and recovery from joint injuries, reduced muscle soreness and time to recover from exercise, and increased muscle protein synthesis. Adding collagen to your daily recovery routine can dramatically improve your recovery and ability to stay healthy. If you want to try collagen yourself, our recommendation is Collagenius because it contains an efficacious dose at 2.5 grams of collagen with no added fillers or proprietary blends. As an added bonus, it contains hyper-concentrated forms of four of the best health-boosting mushrooms, lion's mane, chaga, cordyceps, and reishi. Mushrooms have been shown to be one of the most effective brain-boosting supplements you can take for morning runners. Taking collagen in the mornings, post-workout with the added cognitive support will also help you improve mental clarity in the morning without taxing your adrenal system like caffeine does. So if you're interested in trying it out, head to nootopia.com/runtothetopgenius and use code RUN10 during checkout to save 10%. And Nootopia, the company which makes Collagenius, is so confident you will love this product that they offer 365-day money-back guarantees. Again, that special link is nootopia.com/runtothetopgenius. And when you use code RUN10 during checkout, you'll save 10%. When you're running outdoors, hearing your surroundings like traffic and other runners around you is critical to staying safe and healthy. But listening to your favorite podcast or music can also be essential to staying motivated and enjoying those long miles. That's why we're excited to partner with Olidance, premium headphones designed specifically with runners in mind. The unique design of their headphones allows you to listen to your favorite music and podcast while running, yet still hear everything going on around you so you can stay safe. But my favorite part is that their open ear design means your ears will never get tired or fatigued, even after 2 hours or more of listening. That makes them perfect for those super long runs. Plus, their dynamic driver is 3 times bigger than most headphones, which allows them to deliver superior sound while still being comfortable. So if you're looking for better and safer headphones while you run, there's no better choice than Olidance. And to help you out, we've locked in a special deal with Olidance for Runners Connect listeners. You just have to visit oladance.com/RTTT and use the code RTTT to save 20% on your purchase. That's oladance.com/RTTT to save 20%.
Now that you have an idea of Nick's training, what else can he do to improve moving forward? He's on a great path. After all, he's not far off his 5K PR.
Been able to get my 5K down now. It's about 1830. Back in the day, 2005, it was 1749. So I'm really trying to break that and see how fast I can get.
So it's not like his training is busted. This is less of a training plan rescue and more of a training plan improvement. We've already discussed 2 points. Get rid of the double workouts and don't cram too much mileage in on the weekends. Here are some other ways Nick can improve moving forward. First, relax your tempo workouts. I love that Nick is prioritizing a weekly tempo or threshold session. That's fantastic. But as I'm listening to him describe the workouts, I can tell he's being really strict with them. Listen.
So a typical tempo workout would be 2 by 2 miles at my threshold pace. So I would do that at about 620 a mile.
620 pace is right at the fast end of where I would want Nick doing his threshold work. I wouldn't want it any faster. So often we think of training paces in terms of laboratory conditions. That's the problem with giving super exact paces, especially on tempo work. It's easy to assume flat terrain, perfect weather, all that. But reality is often different. What if it's a hot day and Nick didn't get much sleep last night? Then I definitely wouldn't want him forcing 620 pace. Let's go with the range here. 620 to 645 pace. Start on the slower end, progress to the faster end as your body sees fit. That means some days you might work down to 620, other days you stay right at 645. Either one is great, it's all about the effort here. Next, don't overdo the VO2 max and interval work. You heard Nick talk about his interval workouts. It sounds like he's doing them at just the right intensity and not overdoing the workouts on their own, but these don't really need to be done weekly, at least not year-round. Remember, the 5K is still 80% aerobic. That means we're relying heavily on our aerobic system when running a 5K. That's easy to forget when you're in the marathon world where the 5K is seen as a speed event. I'd like for Nick to do those more sparingly. Instead, bump up the tempo and threshold work, but add in some speed on top. I call this sprinkling in speed. For example, Nick can do, let's say, 8 to 10 by 1,000 meters at threshold, in that range, with 1 minute rest. Then he can do some 300 meter reps at 5K pace with 2 minutes rest afterward. Or let's say he does his 20-minute tempo. finish it off with some short hill sprints to work on running form and short end speed. Then we can save the VO2 workouts for that more race-specific phase 6 to 8 weeks out from race day. Third, it's time to strength train. With the injuries Nick has experienced, it's clear he needs to add in some proper strength work. Runner's knee, Achilles tendonitis, these are classic overuse injuries that are generally caused by ramping things up too quickly and or poor form and strength. It doesn't take much here. You can get a huge bang for your buck with only 2 to 3 short strength workouts a week. Incorporate core work, hip strengthening and mobility, balance and single leg exercises, and some upper body and back work. Here's an example workout. 2 by 30 seconds of each, push-ups, crunches, front planks, side planks, supine planks, donkey kicks, knee circles, glute bridges, single leg balance, and T poses. That last one, you lay on your front and lift your arms out to the side like the letter T. That's a 10-minute workout that covers almost everything you need. Do that 3 times a week and you're set. Okay, Nick, I mentioned this earlier, but truly, this isn't really a rescue of your plan, more so a slight alteration to your current path. You're so close, that 1749 is in your sights. I have a feeling that if you were to keep doing exactly what you've been doing, even if some of it isn't perfect, you'd still beat that really soon. But you said you want to truly see what you're capable of, so let's do it right. Good luck to you, Nick. I look forward to seeing your progression, especially since we're in such similar situations. You're further ahead on the comeback trail, but I'll be there too. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you want to be featured on the next Training Plan Rescue, head to runnersconnect.net/rescue, and I'll tear your training to pieces. Just kidding. I want you to run faster. So again, go to runnersconnect.net/rescue, and let's get faster together. Thanks again for listening. I'll see you next time.
What were your thoughts on that Training Plan Rescue? Michael had a lot to cover, especially around how to effectively return from a running hiatus, if and when to follow the lead of pro runners, and what will set up Nick for success moving forward. We'd love to hear what resonated with you, as well as any outstanding questions you may have. So leave us a comment on the Facebook or Instagram post of this episode to get the conversation started. Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast. I'm your host, Finn Melanson. As always, our mission here is to help you become a better runner with every episode. Please consider connecting with me on Instagram at WasatchFinn and the rest of our team at Runners Connect. Also, consider supporting our show for free with a rating on the Spotify and Apple podcast players. And lastly, if you love the show and want bonus content, behind-the-scenes experiences with our guests, and premier access to contests and giveaways, then subscribe to our newsletter by going to runnersconnect.net/podcast. Until next time, happy training.